This is the Dialed Health Podcast. It's your time to start moving forward. What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Wednesday and welcome to the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at dialedhealth.com. And today's going to be a fun episode. Seriously, we are really close to this Everest ride. In fact, as I'm recording this, I'm 4 days out from Everesting on my trail bike on a 100% dirt loop, goes up a fire road, comes down a black diamond descent. And I want to tell you all about it because there's a lot of things changing and details that honestly, I didn't even think I'd have to consider until we really get into the process and start doing it. And then you realize all these little things you need, all these things you need to prep for. And of course, we're prepping for the best case scenario and potentially the worst case scenario, but most likely it's just gonna be a really big ride on my bike. But there's a huge corkscrew in the new plan that we picked as far as the route goes, because we can't drive a truck or any vehicle within 3 miles of the actual loop I'll be doing. And so transporting things back and forth is an interesting process. And I want to tell you how we're kind of preparing for that and really what the whole day is going to go like. You know, we are inviting people to come out. It's not an event, but there have been a lot of big changes like that that I think are for the better, to be honest. So in a lot of ways, I'm excited, but you will hear kind of my scrambled random thoughts, my checklist that I'll be going through with you. But most importantly, value-wise, you're gonna get an idea of what I'm doing this week for a taper to really make sure my body's primed and ready. So this is gonna include my on-the-bike workouts that I'm tapering, specifically what I'm doing as far as off-the-bike workouts, so my strength training sessions, my recovery sessions, and kind of give you the whole week's schedule. And it could be a mock thing for you to follow, because it is, I'll give you the general idea behind the specific workouts, if you know what I mean. So it's not gonna be like, just do this workout. It's like, do this type of thing on this day, and that will give you a good action plan to walk away with. Now, before we get into all that information, because I can already tell I wanna just dive into it, I have a really cool testimonial that was sent to me, and I wanted to read it to you guys because it's really inspiring, but not the typical success story that you normally hear. But of course, my mouth's already going dry, so take a sip of water with me. If you haven't been drinking today, I need you to get that H2O down your neck. Here we go. I'm taking a sip. Okay, this email is from Dialed Fam member Jeff Richardson. He reached out and said, "Hey guys, hope all is well. I just wanted to touch base and check in." Now, a lot of people do that, by the way. I love hearing from Dialed Fam members and just connecting with the fam. It's rad. So he says, "I finished my race on July 24th. It was 22 miles with 1,200 feet of climbing, both of which are personal highs for me on a mountain bike, so congrats to you on that. The race took me almost 4 hours, and I finished dead last overall, with a majority of 30-mile racers finishing ahead of me. One racer on a fat bike who broke his pedal and just used the spindle of the pedal to beat me too. I wasn't discouraged as I rode my only MTB, which is an enduro/trail bike that weighs 33 pounds. I never raced MTB before, and when I looked on Strava, all the riders had between 2,000 and 6,000 miles already this year. I've got 425, which is a lot for me. Regardless, the strength workouts definitely helped. I don't think I could have finished without them. I had to stop twice because I kind of just tipped over after pedaling hard up a couple hills, and after mile 19, I started making weird noises involuntarily." Which, by the way, Jeff, I almost want an example of what that might have been, but I'm afraid to even put that on this podcast. It might sound questionable, so I'll continue. "I was so roasted at the end, I couldn't even pick up my arm to high-five the event crew who left the finish line up for me. I'm not sure if I'll race again, but I'm glad I did it. Thanks for all the help so far." I mean, you guys, how do you hear that and still have the fear of going out and racing, or like the fear of failure that maybe your performance doesn't stack up the way that you want it to? Because Jeff went out, he's glad he did it, and he admits that, dude, he got beat by a guy on a fat bike who pedaled in on a spindle because one of his pedals actually fell off. And he points out maybe some disadvantages he had, like his trail bike, but he had personal records along the way. He learned a ton, and he also realized that the people who beat him really had so much more bike time in. So it's like a weird success story, because on one hand, you know, he's admitting to the fact that he was in last place, but on another hand, there was so much that he learned from the process. And this right here is such a good example of sending it, pivoting and moving forward. Like, send it, pivot, move forward. He literally went for it, he learned, and he moved forward. And honestly, he's in a lot better position than people now who won't even take the step to go race and kind of find out what they're made of, or even answer the question of, is this something I'm interested in? So for anyone that is curious about trying something new, you just have to do it, and then you kind of know, or you at least have some sense of a direction, and that next step will be revealed to you, because you can't see down the road when you haven't taken the first step or peeked around the next corner. I mean, gosh, that is like true in everything. So Jeff, this was a sick example of just like a unsuspecting success story. And I want to thank you for that. And by the way, I got to point out his name on Instagram is Bad Hound Woodworking. I'm guessing he does some woodwork if you want to go check that. But his Strava name is, it's legendary. It's Plumpy Delicioso. Hey, Plumpy Delicioso, come on now, dude. How do I go follow Plumpy Delicioso on Strava? No, I got to do it. You have to do it because the name is just so good. So Jeff, thanks for that, man. I'm happy here in the Dialed fam, and I hope that really inspires people. I think it will. Now, the announcement I want to tell you guys before we jump into this episode is that the beginner 30-day bodyweight program has officially launched. A newsletter went out about it today to give you all the details. And I want to kind of comb through that to let you know why we put this program out there and exactly what you can expect with it. We'll cover it briefly and then we'll dive into the actual content. But guess what? I'm thirsty again. You have no choice. Take a sip of water with me. Come on now. Mm-hmm. And if you're drinking coffee, you're getting really, really amped up and caffeinated, you know? Or if you're drinking alcohol, maybe you're getting amped up the same way. Anyways, let's read this email. So basically, you guys, the whole idea with this 30-day bodyweight program is to provide a program for someone who is really new to strength training or hasn't strength trained in a long time, you know, whether that's 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Dude, I get emails from people who haven't strength trained in 20 years, and this is literally their first step forward. And to be honest, although we do have full gym programs that are really conducive to these people and they're safe and they build the base they need, we don't have options for at home. And this is such a big need for cyclists, which I really am understanding and kind of embracing more and more. I mean, you know, as a cyclist, you put so much time and money and effort into just getting your bike gear down and getting that whole operation going, that adding in a full gym membership or building out your garage, it's another layer. And a lot of people do it. I mean, shoot, I do it. And I think you should if you can, but I get why people can't. And again, the goal is always consistency. So it's like, how do these people get their foot in the door safely under their own parameters, more or less? Now, also for these people, if they have concerns about injuries or anything like that, or even just like a long-term commitment on a program, which I've had people say that my programs are too long, even though we have a lot of single-day workout options plus, you know, two-month options, this 30-day thing really seemed to be a need. So this is like trying to take the feedback I've gotten from people, which is we need something that's very obviously beginner, at home, and like short, you know? So it's I don't want to say non-committal, but it's a very easy foot in the door for people. So that is what this program is. All you need for it is a foam roller, a stopwatch, and a wall, because I wouldn't call it, you know, a no equipment program, even if there was a wall in it, because I know how that can be kind of inconvenient at times. You know, not everyone has an open wall to use even a stretch. Again, that's experience speaking right there. So the program overview, 30 days, the whole idea is to take you through two safe total body workouts to improve your strength, stability, and mobility. Most importantly, it will result in a stronger and more comfortable experience on the bike. That is without a doubt. That's why your strength training, besides being a strong, confident human, functional human, someone who can go out and just like go chuck their kids into a pool or something like that, just make sure they can swim. I think I said this recently, but I threw one of my cousins in the pool like 2 months ago, and I didn't know he could swim, and he told me not to do it, but I thought it was funny, and I thought he was being a wuss, but he couldn't swim, you guys. Oh, that was so bad. I'm sorry. I apologize to his parents already, but anyways, he's okay. But the idea is you want to be able to just chuck kids around and put your bike up on the wall, hang your bike, throw your e-bike over your tailgate pad, whatever it is. Like, you want to be able to be a normal human that feels good. And so also, this program is great for you to start with and to roll you into another program. So by completion of this program, you really should feel confident in yourself that you can move on to one of the other programs we already have as an option. So that's really this whole idea. I give you a recommendation to add a mobility or recovery video if you'd like some more, if you feel like you could improve in that area. You know, I will say with all of these questionnaire emails I'm getting now, as far as programs go, like picking the program, I'm learning that a lot of people really need to do a program and then add on like one guided workout, and it's typically a mobility and recovery video. And so that is something that you can consider. When you do a program, if you want a little bit more volume, or you feel like you just need more specific mobility or specific back rehab or specific shoulder work, that is where you can go and plug in a guided workout. And it's really, really convenient that way. So other than that, you guys, it's just start moving forward. Get after it. Go check it out. Tell people about it. And now I will say, if you're a Dowd fan member and you had someone who's on the fence about trying out Dowd Health because of those reasons I mentioned earlier, this is what you can send them to tell them to go try. And I'm feeling really confident about it. I'm stoked. So anyways, I know this is the longest intro ever, but I was really happy to read that testimonial, tell you about the new beginner bodyweight program. And I'll tell you, between us, I'm just proud that this rolled out as this Vert Challenge stuff is going on, because it has been so much extra work that I expected. And so the fact that things are still moving forward on the website, there's still improvement and growth, makes me really proud. And I'm really proud to bring that to you guys this week. So I hope you love it, and let me know what program or workout you want next, because we're listening. Now, without further ado, let's jump into this Everest plan. So here's the deal, guys. This weekend, I'm going to climb over 29,032 vertical feet and descend on my mountain bike. Now, we decided this quite a while ago, but since then, our plans have changed almost weekly at this point. Now, if you go back two episodes on the podcast, Jonathan Lee and I deep dive into all the stats, and kind of we decide on the final trail in the Sierras for my Everest ride. We dive into all the logistics and things to consider and why certain ride profiles would be better than others, comparing altitude and FTP reduction and heat and all of these really cool factors. I mean, I am not a deep dive nerd guy, but this has been super interesting to me because I'm fascinated by human performance, obviously. And these feats that people do on bikes they're amazing. Like, you want to know how. And that's one thing I want you guys to be able to walk away from very clearly with what I'm doing with this Everest ride, is that you know how I did it and that you can replicate it. I mean, that's really the goal. It's to inspire you to go do your biggest ride ever, because this, without a doubt, is my biggest ride ever. Now, thankfully, and this was planned, but that double century I did on the road bike in the mountains was, without a doubt, the biggest thing that's given me confidence for this ride. We climbed 15,000 feet. It was 212 miles. It was like 15 hours in the saddle, or overall time. I think it was 13 hours of moving time or something like that. So it was really, really good prep for this day. But I wasn't coming down a black diamond chopped up trail. You know, my bike was a lot lighter. And we had some, it was still pretty hot up there, but we had some help, you know, drafting with a couple people. And so it's comparable with the saddle time and almost the effort, but still, this is such another beast, because I almost think best case scenario, we're looking at like 17 hours, really. And so let me get into the ride profile. Let me tell you what's changed. And then I'll tell you just those random, like, you know, curveball thoughts that I've had going through my mind, where it's just like, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Because that's where my brain is right now. So here's the deal. Jonathan Lee and I decided on this trail on Mount Rose in Lake Tahoe. And that's not going to happen because of the wildfires in the Sierras. Now, on the last episode, I had just realized that we really do need to change the trail. And since then, reached out to a few friends, Alex Wild being one of them. He's a guest on the podcast, a Dowd Fan member, and also one of our top cross-country racers in America. So shout out to you, Alex. Literally, his first suggestion for a trail was probably the best ride profile I've seen in this entire search. Now, originally, and this is Jonathan Lee, this is not to take away from what you recommended me, because I told you I wanted to do it in Tahoe, and I really did. However, now that that's not an option, looking at the Santa Cruz Mountains and seeing this option that Alex picked is like, wow, it is perfect. Let me tell you why. I'm going to go to the stats on my Strava right here. So the total loop is 4 miles, but it is a loop, which is great because of just trail traffic and trail direction. you know, having a trail that was almost completely downhill was very important because of, you know, just not going up and down a trail and dealing with hikers and other riders and the stop and the go. I can't imagine how frustrating that would be. And that was a reason one of my favorite trail choices previously got off the list, because we realized, like, that's a bad idea. Now, this loop is 100% dirt, which is cha-ching, slam dunk. That is the best. Because you don't want for a second someone saying, oh, well, there was a pavement section and that's easier because blah, blah. You don't want that. Okay, not an option. It's 100% dirt. Don't even bring it up. So the other cool thing is there's a fire road going up. Now, this fire road, after pre-riding it, because we already did go out there and check this thing out a few days ago, it's very packed. It's very smooth, but it is very undulating. So holding a consistent power is not going to be realistic on that. And that was one thing I didn't expect. And I'm very happy I went out on pre-road because of it. Also, some of the pitches are over 20%. And I have a 52 rear cassette, so full on dinner plate. And I have a 30 up front. And if you know your gear ratios, if you were on flat ground pedaling that, I mean, it's a joke. You go like 3 miles an hour and you're spun out. But the grades are steep enough here that I was in that gear putting down 275 watts. So, and again, it's not like that's some insane wattage, but you got to remember that's every lap all day. And if this is going to be 26 laps. So that was really cool for me to know that I have that range and that I can use it and that it's going to be efficient. By the way, shout out to Garmin, who is powering the DH Vert Challenge. They gave me the Rally XC200 pedals, which is dual-sided power pedals, and a Garmin 1030 plus head unit. So I can basically watch my power, I can watch my cadence, which I'll tell you also, this was my first time watching a cadence on my mountain bike. And I don't know if that sounds, you know, crazy to you guys or not. If you're an XC racer, I probably sound like an idiot. I come from gravity. I've done a lot of road recently and I'm just kind of merging into XC. So cut me some slack here. I have a lot to learn, but dude, I'll tell you, I could not believe how slow my cadence was on my mountain bike. And it was basically at the point where I was watching my wattage and my first thought was, oh, power meter's reading low. It's reading low. No way am I doing only 300 watts or whatever it was, 275 watts, like I mentioned, 250 watts. This feels way harder. And then I looked at my cadence and I'm doing like 75, you know, pedal strokes a minute or 80 or 70 or even below that. And honestly, that was kind of my normal. I was just out there riding. I wasn't doing anything different. I might've been a little distracted from all the video we were doing and, you know, analyzing the trail, but I was just riding my mountain bike and I was like, wow, like this is how I ride my mountain bike. And I'm not saying that it has to change, but I do need to be aware of that the day of, because on my road bike, I actually spin a freaking high cadence. Like I'll spin 95, 100 pretty regularly. In fact, when I put down efforts, they're almost always that high. And a lot of times when I feel comfortably, like I'm comfortably holding a sweet spot pace or even just a high tempo pace, I tend to be in that upper 90s or mid 90s. And so that is something to really consider, because obviously the faster you're turning the pedals over, the less perceived wattage it feels like. And at least in my opinion, you know, you're putting down the same energy overall, just in more pedal strokes. So it's less power per pedal stroke, if that makes sense, over the course of a minute. Now, people have preferences on what feels more comfortable. You know, obviously, you know, well, there's so much to consider with it. But I'll just tell you, I was surprised at how low my cadence was. I'm also surprised at how dry my mouth is right now. So come on now, time to drink again. Let's go. Oh my gosh, that's delicious. I actually have a Red Bull next to me, but I'm avoiding drinking it so I don't just have to throw down a big burp mid-podcast. But so anyways, we're getting back into the ride profile. So those are kind of the power numbers I was looking at. That was interesting. Now this climb is 1,136 vertical feet. And it's interesting because where our aid station is gonna be is actually a third of the way up, because we go up to the top of this climb and it's a very short traverse over to the downhill trail, which again is called Braille. And it drops, I mean, I don't wanna say pretty straight, but like there's corners, there's features. A lot of the features are optional, thankfully, because some of them are like a 3 foot drop to flat over a log, which, you know, that's an obvious thing to try and avoid basically with just all that impact. And also drop the flats. I don't know. They're fun, kind of. But basically, the trail doesn't traverse too much, but when it drops out onto the fire road, I have to climb about a third of it before I get to the aid station, and then the steeper main part of the climb kind of starts from there. But like I said, there's very little traversing. There's really no flat spot in this entire loop, and it's 4 miles, which means I have to do 26 laps. The total after I do my 26 laps, let me get over to my notes here, is 29,536 vertical feet, 109.2 miles. And like I said, it's 100% dirt. So, I mean, you know what's weird? Looking at the vertical feet is almost digestible to me in a way. 100 plus miles on my trail bike is not. I can promise you that. That's what feels even harder at this point, which is so strange to say. But I don't know, for some reason that number is so beyond, I feel like, what I've ever done on my mountain bike. So it's something that, it's just something that's kind of tripping me out. And I know on the day of, I'm really just going to have to go, I'm just calling it full dummy mode. I'm going to have to really be confident in my preparation and remember that, you know, things are in place. And dude, I just get to go ride my bike all day. Because that, you guys, at the end of the day, that's really all that it is. And I know it's going to be super challenging, but I just get to go ride my bike all day. And to be honest, my life is, it's the best, but it's also challenging and very exhausting. And to be honest, it's getting like increasingly complicated with my family and the growth of Dialed Health and schedules and the constant go, and really the lack of time to do whatever, you know, to sit down and turn on a YouTube video for 10 minutes, it's very limited. And so the freedom of just going out and riding all day is becoming more and more appealing. Like, I'll be honest, I have been adding all this content on for the Vert Challenge, and I'm so proud of what we're creating with it, because it's just gonna be freaking cool. And I'll give you more on that later, but I will say that it's been so much extra work and things to think about. Like, I'm almost ready for it to be done and go ride, where I'm almost more excited about starting than anything, because I just get to go ride my bike all day. So that's sort of how my mindset has changed as we've gotten closer to it, because things are getting in place. We have hotels booked, and I guess I'll just tell you really how the day is going to operate. And really what the biggest like loop, or, you know, monkey wrench, or the biggest hurdle is what I'm trying to say. I'm like trying to recreate all these phrases. I'm getting them wrong. The biggest hurdle of the day. Now, that is, and this is really why I don't think we found a ride profile this good, because originally this wasn't an option not to have. We don't have accessibility by car to this trail. Our trailhead loop and where our aid station is 3 miles on a fire road from the nearest parking location. Now, that is a huge obstacle, because we're bringing a lot of support to make sure that this ride happens, and that, you know, we can really overcome something that happens, mechanicals, or, you know, well, really, I guess just mechanicals. If my body goes, my body goes. We're going to bring some duct tape and some super glue for, like, you know, good old medical reasons, because maybe some peroxide, but that's about all I get. So, you know, if something happens to my body, it is what it is, but at least we can know that we'll have the food and we'll have the mechanical support, thankfully, through Specialized. They're bringing a full spare bike for me, along with Jordan, who is really my go-to Specialized guy. He's going to come out, and he's an incredible mechanic. So between him being an awesome mechanic, having a full spare bike, we're very covered there. We have Brady coming out for all of the video content and the photos. I'll be running a little bit of GoPro, which I'm really excited to at night also, because, you know, I've never even still ridden at night. I just got lights, and I think the GoPro footage might look kind of sick, because the downhill trail is pretty sick. So that'll be cool to see. But who we also added to this initial team is my dad. And this is a really cool one, because for one, I'm excited to do this with my dad. I think it'll be really fun for us. He's done like multi-day adventure races, it was when he was on a SWAT team. He's retired law enforcement. And so he was on a SWAT team and did an adventure race. And I think he was up for close to 72 hours or something like that. I don't know. He's done a few of them. And it's really cool talking about this stuff because he gets it, he's felt it. And I think without a doubt, that's the person I know that will get me what I need no matter what. And that's really reassuring, to be honest, to have support like that, because we know how it is. I mean, you have people like, okay, you know, sometimes people give up on stuff. When things are inconvenient, when things don't go to plan, people can give up. And so when you know that someone will find you the food you need or the drink you need or whatever it might be, and those are just, they're very lightweight examples for like a deep, for like a deep subject here. But the whole idea is, I think bringing my dad, I was like, I know he's going to get me what I need when I need it, and like no exceptions. And so that for me was one of the most confidence boosting things. And also, I mean, no one really knows me better than him besides maybe my wife. And even then, he probably knows my natural tendencies even better. So that'll be good at the end of the day if I need a little kick in the butt. You know, because I need someone to not give me an option to quit, but I also need someone to tell me what I need to hear. So I feel like that, like he'll be the guy for that. So adding him to the team is really cool. Plus now, because of this 3-mile fire road stretch we have, he's going to be our, basically like our transport guy, and he'll be able to go back and forth, because even though it's 3 miles on a fire road, it's only 400 vertical feet. It's very smooth. It's realistic to move back and forth on. Now, the one thing I'm trying to track down right now, Chaz, and he's going to be so mad that I said this. Chaz, let me tell you, I'm trying to get a kid's trailer because, you know, we need to get a cooler down there, maybe two of them. And this is going to be the weirdest thing to transport, is just all the ice and the food and that. Our aid station already has a picnic table and a lot of flat ground. It's in a tree canopy, so we don't need an easy up or anything. So all those things are really good. But we still have to bring in all the food and water, not only for myself, who I'm going to be just a human garbage disposal throughout the day. And that part I'm almost looking forward to. Like, bring it on. Like, I will eat it all. I will eat it all, people. But that is... that's something we have to consider with all the water and the ice and the weight and the clunkiness alone. So we're like, okay, we could get a bike trailer, like a kid's trailer, and hook it up to a seatpost of a bike, get it down there at least. And thankfully it's a downhill to the trailhead. So it's like, you know, if it's heavy getting there, like we can worry about getting it out at, you know, the end of the day or whatever we have to do, but getting it there is the most important thing. And of course, we will not leave a morsel of garbage or anything behind. I promise you that. I'm very, very against littering in nature. It's not cool. So anyways, a bike trailer is apparently very hard to find that hooks to your seat post. Everyone has them that hook to basic, like a quick release on your rear axle. Chaz has one. He's coming on the podcast soon. I almost asked him today to come on, but we'll save it for another topic. But basically, it's brand new. He spent a lot of money on it. And I'm like, it's probably going to get pretty trashed. Now, don't tell anybody that who might actually loan one to me because I'm still on the hunt for it. Don't send this podcast to them. They don't need to hear it. But if I get a kid's trailer, it's not going to be a kid in there. We're loading it up with food. And so that'll be really the last thing that we need. And I think once we're set up, it comes down to having the idea of, okay, you know, how much food and water am I really going through on each lap, which will be pre-planned. I think the way I'm going to plan that is having nutrition basically labeled for every single lap. Now we have 26 laps, which is nice because it's just enough time for me to, you know, make like little decisions. You know, long story short, what I choose to grab at the feed zone is only going to have to fuel me for the next 40 minutes or so. So if I make a mistake, I don't have to suffer for too long before I can hopefully fix that. And that's what I'm happy about with this amount of laps that we're doing. But I will say I don't want to stop for every lap, even just putting my foot down for a second. And it's kind of cool when you look at the ride profile. Basically, the climb, as I said, you climb about a third of the way up, and then it rolls downward past the tech zone before it climbs back up again. And so I'll be able to coast by them, and if I can just dump a bottle that they can pick up, of course, and then they hand me another bottle, and then if they have food already unwrapped for me, or like gummies unwrapped for me, or even if they have a, let's just say like I'm gonna be using the P&G refuel packets. If we have one of those already ripped open and I can just squeeze it on the spot and dump it on the trail. I already talked to my dad. He's like, oh yeah, I'll just go and pick it up. So those are the kind of things that, again, having this team is going to make this ride not only more enjoyable, but way more doable, because I really would like to finish before the sun goes down. And I don't know if that's going to be possible, because as I mentioned, it's 40 minutes a lap. It's going to be 26 laps. Best case scenario, that's around 17 hours. You add stops, we're looking like 18. And that's not even factoring in any weird mishap that happens, you know, or any actual stop. If I stop and actually do want to eat some real solid food, like a turkey sandwich or something, which I am going to bring with some potato chips. And, you know, you're probably interested in what the heck I'm going to eat. So I'll tell you, my hour to hour nutrition plan is not dialed in yet, but I want to give you an example of the types of foods that I am going to be eating. So I will without a doubt have liquid calories. We're gonna have a ton of just water. I've mentioned in the past that I really do like to drink just cold water. It's the most refreshing thing. It actually feels like it, you know, makes my mouth not like parched. You know, sometimes even if you have drink mix and it's cold, sometimes you can leave with like a sticky, dry mouth, kind of like I have right now. So let's go ahead and drink. Come on now, you heard me. Get that water down your neck. Oh yeah. That's good. So, you know, I like pure water sometimes. So I was almost thinking to alternate laps, you know, drink mix one lap, water the next lap. That might be a good rhythm for me, but I don't like to drink mix and liquid carbs until, like, if I'm also eating a lot of food. And of course, if you get behind enough, then you get to the point where you're doing both, no problem. And hopefully I don't get to that point, but typically when I take on more solid food, if possible to wash it down with actual just water, I would probably choose to do that. And so I'm thinking I'll start my first lap. I'm gonna have a bunch of oatmeal in the morning for breakfast, like a bunch. I'm just gonna stuff myself with oatmeal as much as I can probably. And then, you know, have some peanut butter on there, a bunch of honey. It's just gonna be dense. You know, it will give me a layer of fiber, but not too much to the point where I feel like my, you know, gut is just taking all the water. But it'll be nice to have that base down. Like, I'm just trying to get that sticky, dense kind of food in right away. Go up first lap, drink mix, and then I'm going to start taking in some gels. So like I said, those P&G refuel gels, they're not very high carb. They're only like 20 grams of carb. But I think that taking them on early will be nice because they tend to sit really well in my stomach. So I don't know if I'm gonna need to have two of those each lap, or maybe I'll continue to drink a little more mix early on, or maybe I reach for whole food faster than normal. But I think either way, I'm gonna want the transition from gels and whole food. My real go-to with whole food is gonna be the Cram sandwiches. They're pretty high in fat, to be honest, but like they're so easy to get down. And they're only like 20 grams of fat or so. They're like 400 plus calories. It's a very balanced macro profile. So there's like 20 grams of protein. There's jelly, there's bread. So it is very balanced, but I wouldn't call it like a carb dense food. It has carbs in it, but that'll be the food that I reach for to kind of mix it up amongst all the carbs. And other than that, as far as food goes with like salty options, I'm gonna have mixed nuts that are salted. I'm gonna have the potato chips. I'm gonna have a turkey sandwich. And I wanna have like prosciutto or salami or some very easy chewable meat option. And then just having salt tablets. And I will tell you, the salt fueling is gonna be the biggest curveball for me. The only time I've ever felt like I even needed extra salt, I know this is like really weird to say, but it was during that 200 mile ride. And thankfully, Jonathan Lee came up, had 1500 milligram salt tablets. I took one just because he said to. Honestly, I didn't really know I wanted one, but when I drank it, I felt literally my limbs just like plump back up. It was so interesting because I didn't realize how depleted I was until I took that, and I felt so much better like 20 minutes later. And yeah, I just felt like water back in my arms. It was so weird. But that's something that I'm gonna have to, like I said, I'm spitballing with you because I haven't written this down yet. But these are the things that are kind of on my radar. Now, one thing I'm very excited about, and I might set a world record, is my Red Bull consumption, straight up. The carbonation, I love it on a day like this. It just kind of, it gets you to burp a little bit, balance out the stomach. It's, you know, 110 calories. So how much, I think they're like 29 grams of sugar, 28 grams of sugar, something like that. They're delicious. They're nostalgic. They get me motivated. I love Red Bull, and to be able to, you know, it's really cool that they've come on and started supporting me, and, you know, bringing in product and stuff like that into my studio. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm excited to use that product on this day. So that'll be a really cool one. I'll probably, I mean, if I have 5 Red Bulls on this day, I really won't be surprised. And other than that, I think it'd be nice to have some candy and some weird curveball options. I'll tell you, I'm asking people to bring me food just in case, like bring me random stuff, but I don't want to eat something that's too different, because I am tempted by these, by making some rice bars. You know, I think Scratch Labs has some really good rice bar recipes that I've had in the past, but it's been a very long time. And I'm just afraid to really do something too different. But again, you never really know what you're gonna want, what's gonna sound good. And at the end of the day, no matter how hard you try, your gut's probably gonna get messed up at some point. And I have accepted that. And I understand that as much as we prep, as much as we plan, there's probably gonna be a point where I don't feel very comfortable, or I feel like there's a lot of water in my stomach, or there's just something up. And for that reason too, having things like Gatorade on standby, having, I mean, shoot, what other food would I get? I would get straight up Pichos or something like that at a gas station, gummy bears. You know, I probably will bring Oreos. The only downside to Oreos is the fat content when you go out and do this ride. But then again, the intensity is never gonna be super high, but I am gonna be taking in fat through the peanut butter on those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I'll have Oreos, but that probably won't be a go-to as much as I want it to be. It's just, they're the perfect balance of sweet and salty, this is proven. And they're by far the biggest weakness food I have in my entire diet on planet Earth. I can't control myself. They make me crazy. Oreos make me crazy. Did you guys see that my wife brought home apple cider donut Oreos? She literally just brought those home. And I was like, what are you, do you want me to lose my job? Because I will eat this whole packet and I'll just never be able to take my shirt off again. I'll do it. And guess what? Kids are going hungry. Okay, anyways, that's how aggressive I get about Oreos. And I had some, and I'm proud to say that I have been slowly taking Oreos over the last 2 weeks, and I still have a full sleeve left. Those things are freaking delicious. If you dunk an apple cider Oreo in oat milk, and I know this is like the bougiest, most hipster way to eat an Oreo, it's by dunking it in oat milk, but man, is it good. Anyways, I don't think that's gonna be a very big go-to. In fact, one food, and I'm reluctant to say this because I don't want it to be the case, but it is just the case. I don't do great with chocolate on ride days like this. And I've learned that through having like Snickers bars, because for a while that was my go-to, was go get a Snickers bar or even go and get trail mix when I do want that more salt, but still some carbs and whatever. But again, the chocolate and trail mix alone, I noticed was a little bit too much for my stomach. I don't do well with milk. And, you know, really, I think when I'm in that state, the chocolate's a little bit too much for me. But that does remind me of one of the most key foods I'll be drinking out there, Coca-Cola. I am on a Coke kick lately on my road rides. Oh my gosh. And you guys, by the way, this is a reason I'm writing this stuff down. It's funny, I actually have a document on Google Docs where I'm checking this stuff off the list, and I don't know why. I don't know if Google Docs is just malfunctioning right now. It wasn't loading. I couldn't pull it up. So anyways, it's why I'm a little bit scrambled with what I'm telling you I'm going to eat. But I think the most important thing is going to be to have a lap plan, put a piece of tape on everything I should eat each lap, and have it set out. It's gonna be prepped to be handed to me so I can keep rolling and really only stop when I need. So that is kind of the fueling plan. And I guess I'll tell you what time I'm starting. So we're going for 2 a.m. as far as getting to the trailhead. I wanna start at 2, but the reason I don't think it's realistic is because I don't wanna wake up any earlier than 1. Even if I fall asleep at 9 p.m., waking up at 1 a.m. is still, that's only 4 hours of sleep. But again, 4 hours, I know I'll be fine with 4 hours. I just do. I'll be okay, not ideal, I'm gonna be fine. But any earlier than that, that's not even like sleeping. Like, I've had 3 hour nights or whatever, but waking up at 12:30 or midnight, come on. So that's where I was like, do we really need to do that? So if we wake up at 1, we can be out the door by 1:30 at our hotel. We can be at the trailhead by 2. We could be down at the aid station by 2:30, and I can roll about then. So I don't need to start right on the dot at any given point, but I hope I can be rolling before 3 a.m. And, but again, still, that probably means I'm going to have to be done by, you know, seven-ish, which is going to be like nightfall, especially because we're in the dense woods. So if I have to put the lights back on, we'll do it. The most important thing is that I get this done within 24 hours. Like, that is the only thing that's going to make it count. And I don't want to be out there all day. I want to be eating a huge pizza at a restaurant at somewhat a dinner time, but we'll see what's possible. I probably won't be able to think straight at that point. Who knows what state I'll be in. I'll probably just be so happy that it's over. And I won't even care about going to a restaurant or anything like that. So if we can start before 3 a.m., I think that'd be great. Now, I'll tell you, I was not looking forward to doing the first 4 hours in the dark by myself. Brady was going to come out and ride with me a little bit to get content, but I would still do the majority of each lap on my own. And I don't know about what you guys think about this, but solo night ride, it just sounded eerie, to be honest. I mean, am I afraid of the dark? Is probably what you're thinking. No, I don't feel like I'm afraid of the dark. But, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to turn a corner and have freaking Freddy Krueger just pop out into my field of vision with the lights, but I know there's mountain lions out there, you know? Like, I'm not stupid. Like, I know the realities of life and freaking wildlife and stuff. And to be out there solo like that, like, it just feels exposed. It feels, or vulnerable, you know? And so that was the one weird thing. And also, again, there's no cell reception out here, by the way. So even walkie-talkies, the range is weird because we're in a canyon, and I'm kind of on both sides of this mountain, sort of. Like, it rolls around. And so anyways, I don't know if walkie-talkies will even be worth it, if they'll work. But basically, I found someone to ride with me, James Eves. Shout out to you. He reached out and just freaking offered it. He's like, I have to work. It's Labor Day weekend. He owns a shop. And he was like, literally, I'll come out with you in the morning and ride and then go to the shop. And this guy, by the way, will follow through. He rode 100 miles on a beach cruiser. Like, I know that seems like a curveball, but that's my proof that this guy is crazy enough to come out with me at 2 a.m., turn the lights on, and just go all morning. And then he'll go to work all weekend, which is so savage. But I'm so grateful for it because I think it's going to make that whole morning time just honestly just feel a lot safer and probably more enjoyable. I mean, James is a really cool dude to be around, and I'm just so stoked he's down to do that. Now, after he leaves in the morning, I already know people are going to start rolling in. One major thing that we changed with this vert challenge is that we are going to be we kind of openly invited people. So originally I didn't want anyone there because I didn't want to take the risk of something happening because of the amount of people there. You know, stuff just happens, whether it's more crashing, whether it's trail traffic, whether it's just exhaustion of just trying to kind of like, you know, be, I don't want to say like entertain people, but like I almost felt like it would just add unnecessary effort or something like that. But when we were out there filming the pre-ride, what I really realized was that people give me so much energy. And we were basically out there filming. There were these locals there. We didn't know each other. They came up, they asked what I was doing. And these, honestly, they look like local guys that were like probably in the tech industry, out there riding on the weekend, middle-aged dudes, super nice. And they got so like juiced on what I was doing. They got so excited. I told them, I was like, hey, this is what we're doing next weekend. Here's why we're filming. They're like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you're going to do 26 laps of this or that. And they just said, we're coming back out. So I hope to see those guys. And it got me like excited. It got me motivated, just that conversation. And you know, before that I was, but it's just crazy how much energy I felt. And that was immediately when I decided, I was like, we have to invite people. We have to be very clear, this is not an event. But if you happen to be riding in the area, if you want to come out, if you want to get some laps in, the place is plenty big enough. I'm sure everyone will be very courteous to me and what I'm doing. Not just like drop in front of me or, you know what I mean? Like try and take our food supplies or something. That's where like my hope in humanity is still there. But I really think that it's going to bring more energy and more fun to the day. And again, just get people excited because the goal is inspiring people to go out and crush a ride. And who knows, maybe some people out there will go and get their PR. And even if, you know, a lot of locals will ride that place by laps. So maybe if they've only done two laps, they'll do three that day, which I think is so freaking sick. And so we decided to print out Vert Challenge stickers that we'll be able to pass out to everyone that shows up. Like, if you come out for it, at least we can drop you a cool sticker and say thanks for coming. And obviously we just need your video consent. You're gonna be in the video probably, or you might be. So anyways, those are all things that was really excited to include into this new route, the new plan. And those are the things we're kind of having to consider. And I guess the last thing I'll say before I take a sip of water. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to take a sip of water. Take a sip of water. Come on now. It's time. Is that I really wanted to, okay, like the one of the big goals of this, besides having content for the Dowd fam, for Dowd Health, is to be able to bring content that's valuable for the sponsors, right? So Garmin is sponsoring this. They're the title sponsor. We also have Specialized, and we also have other people supporting this thing. But I realized after talking to one of the Pink Bike editors, because I wanted to do a Pink Bike article, I'm like, oh, this is a slam dunk, right? But you can't just go advertise for 20 different people, like everybody involved, and have them get all these free advertising spots on Pink Bike, because we're doing a bike check and all these things. And right away they're like, yo, we can't put, you know, a third party on there, which makes sense. Like, I get it. Like, everybody has to make money, and you know, there's no handouts. It's all good. But it made me realize, I was like, okay, so if we can't drop this as like a Pink Bike article, like, how do we do this thing in a way that's valuable? And I'll tell you, Brady doesn't know this yet, but what my idea was, and that's my videographer who's putting in the real effort and hard work behind this, instead of having like three different videos, because we're going to do a pre-ride, we're going to do a one lap with commentary of the trail, and then we're going to do the day of video, what if we put it all together into like almost a, if you've seen the Vegan Cyclist Impossible Route videos, they're like 45 minutes to an hour, more, maybe, I think the Impossible Route through Death Valley was like an hour and 20 minutes. It was incredible. It's like, sit down, put your feet up, grab some popcorn, and watch this epic video. Like, actually epic, you know? That word gets thrown around too much, but that was actually epic. Tyler, shout out to you on that one, man. That was so inspiring. I was like, what if we actually went that route with it? What if we combined all of these? And maybe we won't have like an hour video, but I think that we could have 45 minutes of quality content, not fluff. Like, I hate when certain vlogs and YouTube channels just put in like so much fluff. It's like, okay, come on. Like, I get it. You wanted to string this out to 20 minutes or whatever it was. So that the goal, we wouldn't do it for the sake of that, but if we put it all together to where it's just this really sick, almost documentary style event video thing, I don't know what to do with that yet. Because at least if that was one piece of content, we could promote it through YouTube. And then it's like, do we make a separate piece of it for just Dialed Health and take out all the sponsor bits? Or I don't know. These are all the things I'm just trying to figure out still. And these are the layers to working with other people that are necessary for everyone to get what they need out of it. So it's all cool stuff to consider. And I guess that's pretty much everything, guys. Like, I really don't have any more details than that. It's going to come within the next few days, but I'll just tell you, oh, you guys, one of the most important things, I'm so sorry. I did not even tell you what I'm doing for my taper. you can see how like sporadic I am right now. Here is what my training taper looks like. So this week, right now I'm recording this is actually Tuesday. But starting back on Sunday, I did the guided total body foam roll session, and then I rested. Now my schedule has been a little bit weird already because I'm basically one day ahead. Typically, I rest on Monday. This week, I rested on Sunday. And that way, I can come into Saturday feeling as fresh as possible. So, like, I'll have one more rest day in the books leading up to it. And so, Sunday, I did my guided total body foam roll session and rested. Really, I don't have a very restful life. I'm chasing kids around. But I did have elevate my legs for about 20 minutes in that day, which was great. Yesterday, Monday, I did a Zone 2 endurance ride, Trainer Road. Very easy, nothing crazy, felt great, just spun my legs out, and then did quite a bit of stretching after that. Also, elevated my legs. I think I laid down for maybe even longer than 20 minutes. I was just working on my phone. So today, Tuesday, guided kettlebell workout number 5 at 80% perceived effort. So I'm about to do that actually right now. We're going to get some content with it too. But the thing with strength workouts, you guys, doing this, it's all about doing something that's restful, so it's not going to break you down, but it's still enough effort to activate your muscles. That's the point. You want, with a taper week, you want to rest and then you want to actually feel recovered, but you can't get to the so recovered that you actually start feeling lazy or slow, which is really how I feel if I take too much time off. And I hate that feeling. And it's not a way to go perform. It's like a proper warm up before a race, for example. Like, you have to go out and do some quick snappy efforts. Like, you can't just kind of spin your legs in a parking lot. You need to do some real efforts to be really warmed up and really ready and prepped. So that's the whole idea of this week. It's not don't do anything and just rest. It's active recovery, really. So then my ride tomorrow, which is Wednesday, is an endurance ride with sprints. So again, not a ride that breaks me down, but I'm gonna do 3 to 4 10-second burst sprints. So again, it's just to fire my muscle fibers, get everything like activated, on tap, ready to go, but not enough for fatigue. The whole rest of the ride is gonna be at zone 2. Thursday, I'm doing a total body stretch, which is day 2 from the mobility program. And that is borderline a yoga video. So there is a little bit of strength work in there, some balancing, but it's all body weight, mostly stretching, very, very low intensity in a very restful session. But again, body staying moving, which body in motion stays in motion. You got to keep that principle. And I will say, with rest weeks, you don't want them to be so restful, like I said, that you get lazy. They got to be somewhat close to your normal lifestyle for you to feel at your best, in my opinion, because your body like knows what it knows. And even backing off a little bit can be just enough for you to feel primed and ready. So don't feel like, you know, you have to just fully veg out, because I really don't think that's the point. Now, Thursday is the kind of the last strength and mobility session. Friday, I'm gonna be doing the guided total body static stretch and then a really light shakeout ride. Now, we were planning originally on riding down to the aid station and maybe bringing some stuff to stash, but I don't think we're gonna do that anymore. So what I'm gonna do is basically just, honestly, it sounds kind of lame, but with my stretch session, I'm gonna be getting on my bike and doing a couple little quick snapper sprints. I'm gonna be making sure the bike's running good, a couple laps around the parking lot, pop a couple wheelies, call it a day. It's gonna be just enough, again, to recover and keep my body actually like moving. And then I can feel confident that after 4 hours of sleep, I'll still feel 100% recovered and ready for this thing. Because the next morning, Everest Day, Saturday, we'll be getting after it. So my biggest recommendation, you guys, 4 to 5 days out from your event, do a strength session at about 80% perceived effort, maybe even 70, maybe even 60. You know, you could go through a strength session at half mass, really cut back on the weight, have a couple snappy efforts, call it a day, kind of like you would on the trainer ride. You know, instead of sweet spot, you're doing endurance with 10-second burst sprints that are, you know, you do 4 times or something like that. So just remember, strength session, 4 to 5 days out, keeps your body primed. And then even right before that event, that day, whatever, just make sure you shake out your body, you do a couple snappy things, just to make sure you're ready, and then you should feel nice and recovered. I think stretching, foam rolling, that stuff's a given at this point. It's basically a daily habit for me, but I wanted to tell you very specifically how it was laid out. And if you want this schedule visually in front of you, go sign up for the newsletter. I could send this to you if you reach out to me and you want this in particular, but if you are a part of the newsletter, if you've signed up for Dialed Health, you got this and you're able to see it. So that is kind of cool there. And that's pretty much it, you guys. Those are not only my Everesting plans, but also my weekly thoughts. And like I said, Brady's coming in. We're going to film some workout content for this video, actually. And it's going to be some cool B-roll because, of course, we got to talk about training a little bit. And that's pretty much what the rest of my day is looking like. Hopefully next time I see you, I can just be, you know, I'm probably going to be wrecked, but hopefully I can tell you that we accomplished what we set out to accomplish, which was 29,032 plus vertical feet on the stump jumper, all within 24 hours. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. If you are enjoying it, there's 2 things you can do to really help us out. It makes a huge difference and only takes a minute or two. The first thing you could do is give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app and also just write a positive comment, say you're enjoying the episode. Anything positive honestly works. I'm not picky. The second thing you can do is to screenshot that you're listening to the episode and post it to your social media. Instagram stories is a perfect place to do this and tag Dialed Health. Not only will I be able to repost it, but it also shows your friends that you're listening and really helps with the growth of the podcast. Now, you can also go to dialedhealth.com and get a membership. Without a doubt, that'd be the most supportive thing you can do. And hopefully you can implement some strength training into your weekly routine and get the benefits of it and have the best rides possible. Thank you so much for the support. I hope you have an incredible week. We will see you next Wednesday.